Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined, as always, I feel, by Peter Raven and EDP Chief Norwich City writer Paddy Davitt. It has been a rather busy few days since we last, what was the last podcast we did on the way back from Bristol, wasn't it, Pad? I think so. Of course, manager's gone, Alec Neil sacked at, Friday evening, 6 o'clock. And we've clearly spoken a lot about that in the last few days, Paddy. Is there anything on that situation you want to say or get off your chest immediately at the forefront before we start talking about the fallout and Blackburn and all that stuff?
Not really, no. I think it's all been said, hasn't it, really? There was an issue, I think, for a lot of people with the timing, given he'd spoken to me and a few others on Friday afternoon about his summer makeover plans, and that left a bit of a sour taste, but I think the chairman addressed that on Saturday. Whether you take on board what they said or not, it still smacks of perhaps could have been better handled, but whether it's the right decision or not, I don't think you'd find too many supporters who would think it isn't the right decision. So ultimately it's done now, and we move on.
Yeah, probably just a few months too late ultimately. I was quite I don't know if worked up is the right word, but the timing did get to me at the time, given it sounds like basically Alec Neil was involved in sort of being in the boardroom, in the board meeting at some point after.
He was called
around about half three, basically, to give a bit clarity to the events there. Now, Alec Neil spoke to us for his Blackburn press commitments, perfectly normal, on a Friday afternoon. That took place about 2 o'clock this Friday, just gone, after Ivo Pinto had been in. Around about the same time at Carr Road, the board meeting was just commencing, and the chairman tells me on Saturday afternoon that as they sat down, there still wasn't a unanimous decision taken on Alec Neil's future. Once that had been reached around about half three, that's when he got the call and he had to leave the training ground. So literally, it was probably within about 40 minutes of having spoken to the press that he got the call to say, sorry mate, it's not going to be you who does the summer makeover. So that's where we were.
So Alec Neil was in the board meeting.
He was called to Carr Road, went into the board meeting, yeah.
And this was a...
where he was informed that...
board meeting that was scheduled long ago, was it? Or?
Yeah, it wasn't an emergency one, no. It was just the chairman was doing an evening with, wasn't he, later in the evening at Carr Road. So he was... obviously, he's based in London a lot of the time, so I think it was more a case of that afternoon was when they were all going to be in the vicinity and available. But no, it wasn't an extraordinary general meeting called because they felt they had to make a decision on his future. But clearly, what had happened in the last two or three games, you know, the Wednesday no-show at Bristol City, sort of debacle as well, on the back of Burton, on the back of Rotherham, I think the tipping point had been reached. And as you say, Michael, I mean, whether it's the right timing or not, probably not, but... and the way it was handled, could have been handled better, probably yes, but it's done now, and as I say, time to see what's around the corner.
Yeah, we're going to have a busy week. Just on all that though, Pete, your thoughts and feelings?
Well, again, you two have mentioned it and I'm going to mention it as well, just to bore everyone else. It's the timings are bizarre, both in the sense of it should have been months ago, and also I've never known a manager to do a pre-match press conference than to not be in charge for that game. It should have been done earlier in the week if they're going to do it this week. But it's done and dusted. He's gone. They need to get someone in, and the quicker the better, really. It's, I think in the days of the old CEO, they always had someone else lined up pretty much straight away. And I know there's a whole due diligence thing and there'll be interviews, but we've seen today that could be Rowett and Warburton, both, you would assume, targets. Looks like they're going elsewhere. If they're going to sit on their hands for a while, there might not be much left. You just want someone in quickly, and also it takes out of that limbo feel that it was at the game on Saturday, where there was just no atmosphere. The season was dead anyway, but with Alec Neil gone as well, it was just felt even worse than a pre-season friendly. So I want to see someone in charge before the next home game.
That won't happen.
No.
Alan Irvine's already said he was asked to take Blackburn and this weekend, whether something happens quickly,
yeah,
but it won't.
Don't go into knee-jerk reaction, but you think if they've been thinking about this for a while, and they must have been, because it's not just an overnight decision, it's been shocking for a long time. You look at who else is out there, you start the interview process as soon as possible if you want to be seen as ambitious.
And let's be clear, from what I've been told by various people, there is no necessary coincidence that Norwich sacked Alec Neil, are looking for a manager, and then Derby sacked Steve McLaren 2 days later and moved very quickly to get in Gary Rowett. Not necessarily because Norwich had already made overtures or whatever, but just because Derby wanted to be proactive in that situation. That's what I get. And apparently, by all accounts, he will be in charge of Derby County come this weekend. It's not really going to be about the manager, is it, for the rest of this week, Pat? It's going to be about the structure. It's going to be about how they're going to basically take the chief exec role that was done by David McNally and Jez Moxie and disband it into other roles and other circumstances, and I guess handing those responsibilities out to other people, possibly people currently at the club.
Well, you'd think so. You'd think Steve Stone would have an enhanced role. Ricky Martin's in and around it. I mean, the chairman, when he was asked through any number of interviews there before the game, was at pains to talk a lot about recruitment, talk a lot about the academy. So I think those areas particularly is what they'll be focusing on in this off-the-field restructure. They clearly feel that those areas don't really necessarily need to be at the door of the manager, which is effectively, you know, going away from the traditional model where certainly Alec Neil, he had final say on all the recruitment and it was his target list as well. I'm not sure that's going to be the way it is moving forward. So whether you want to label that a more continental approach, not sure about the director of football. I mean, you sort of intimated that they might be going down that route, but time will tell. And anyway, I think a lot of this is labelling and what labels you put on things, you know. So we'll see exactly what it means moving forward. But I'm not sure fans will get too excited by a corporate off-the-field restructure this week.
Russell Barton promised we would.
Well, he said that the Norwich fans would like what they think.
There will still be a top dog as such in terms of Norwich City as a football club at top level. Whether it's a CEO or not, there's got to be someone who ultimately everyone answers to.
Well, I guess the thing is there going to be a group of people that everyone's answerable to, or a single person? And I think they do want to. Well, it is the board, and that's, I think, what it will be. And it is that collective. It's like a cabinet. It's that collective responsibility. But as me and Pat have had this conversation today, just because I sit there thinking, well, I think it'll be a director of football. It might not be called a director of football. It might be some sporting operations guy. Effectively, semantics in terms of what they're called. But there will be that splitting of the football duties and the business duties, I think, that we will see. And let's be clear. I mean, it does feel like there's a massive power vacuum at the club at the moment, doesn't there? I mean, just in that was almost the symptomatic thing of how everything played out. Because we heard from Ed Balls. They explained why it all happened. And you're like, well, yeah, I can see why it's happened like that, why the timing was then. But it just seemed like a lack of decisiveness of someone taking the bull by the horns and sort of preempting things that might be construed as issues and just being proactive and leading the situation rather than being reactive, to the point where, let's be honest, up until Friday or Tuesday or whenever they started having these conversations, Alec Neil was the only man for the job. They've clearly then, over the course of a few days, gone, we need to change it now. And I bet you, when they did that, they didn't have any idea who they definitely wanted to replace him.
Yeah, but if you're going into a board meeting with that sort of decision, it's like, let's get rid of him, it's like, well, then what? That doesn't smack of a board that knows what it's doing as such. Well,
you mentioned this to me on Twitter, didn't you, Pat, that they did that and then the board meeting carried on. So they clearly did then, you know, continue to discuss what was next. It's just, I guess, what they came up with, which is what we'll find out this week.
I mean, ultimately, what they have decided definitively is that Alec Neil, in their opinion, unanimously, isn't the right man for next season. So on that aspect, there is clarity and there is certainty, but it's now, okay, he isn't the man. They need to identify who the man is. And they must feel clearly, you know, the playoff side of things, albeit they could have moved back in within range perhaps if they'd have held on there Saturday, but they feel this season isn't going to happen on the pitch. So now is the time, between now and QPR, May the 7th, final game of the season, get the structures in place, and then you hit the summer hard. Because, I mean, if we are getting to a scenario where at QPR we don't know who the manager is, then I would fear for, because it'll be too late then, sadly, it'll be too late then to then embark on what needs to happen this summer, which is a massive root and branch.
But not only that, it's everything that follows. Is if you get a new manager at the end of the season, you've then got the players that he'll target, the players he wants out. That's going to take even longer. That then, and then before you know it, pre-season has started, your new squad is still isn't in place, and then the season started, and they may be together a couple of days, maybe on a training camp in Austria, and that's about it. It has to be made soon. So he gets his feet under the table, and then, I mean, he's got the rest of the season anyway, whatever happens, unless he loses like 8 in a row. It's not encouraging, but you want him and his ideas there. So as soon as the season's over, right, just, or even now, just looking straight to next season.
Well, then that surely has to be the sole reason for making the change now, yeah. So that you have that time, if you then wait. The only thing I hope is that they didn't come out of that board meeting and go, all right, well, let's have a think about Gary Rowett. And then the next time they have a board meeting, he's already in post at Derby, which, you know, we will see, of course, how it all pans out. Let's just reflect for a moment, because we've said a lot about Alec Neil in recent months. And, you know, it's all been negative, basically, trying to digest why he was still in post and all that sort of stuff. We're now at the point where he will be, you know, we can assess his reign. We can remember what we want to remember from it. Pete, Terraces, Alec Neil, I mean, the reality is in a few years' time, most people only talk about Wembley, won't they?
They will, in the same way that they don't remember the end of Lambert's career at Norwich, where he'd clearly given up and the team was fairly woeful. It's my first time at Wembley, and I'm 37 soon. And yeah, I was only ever going to go to watch Norwich. I was too young for the Milk Cup final. And so he's given me that day and that incredible run up to that day, like with one. Was it one defeat away in the championship?
No defeats away.
So, and I guess if you look at the pure stats and like that list of Norwich City managers and win percentage, his is still going to be a decent one. Obviously, he's had a season in the top flight, and that's always going to reflect badly on any manager that's had a Norwich team in the Premier League as it is now. Yeah, it's gone wrong, but it does for a lot of managers. And I'd hope that he goes away thinking that he's achieved something here and he's proud of that. Okay, he couldn't keep us up, but he got us up, and he got us that day at Wembley. And that's what, when you look back at when I'm an old man, I'll remember. Well, probably am now. I'll remember that day at Wembley over anything else that he's done.
Yeah, there's two things, aren't there, for us, Pad? There's the achievements on the pitch and what he did, but also us dealing with him too. We always sort of comment on what it's like to deal with respective managers when they're in post, and I think Alec was probably as good as it got, really, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, on that front, yeah, he was top draw. Brutally honest. Too honest for his own good, really, in that scenario, a lot of the time. You know, he didn't really go down the bless him Chrissy H route of you could basically know what he was going to say before every press conference got underway. But ultimately, it's not really about that, is it? You know, he gets judged on what he produced at the other part of his job, which was winning football. And I think Pete spoke very well there. I think the painful elements of his reign will recede in time, and it will be about that sort of magnificent achievement, which it was. I think time will tell, but I think he was such a young man, such a young manager coming down to England for the first time, a very high level of his profession, and he, by his own admission, made mistakes. I think he will go on to be a good manager, and it was probably just a bit too soon for him, really, and they jumped too fast, too soon. Of course, nobody would have ever said we didn't want to go in the Premier League 6 months into his tenure, but clearly he got found out in the Premier League, and Norwich did as well, and it's going to take more than 8 months of the following season to repair the damage, I'm afraid, as we've found to our cost, as he has ultimately found to his cost. But I think he will go on to be a decent operator, yeah, because you know, unless you're saying basically it was fluke that first 6 months of his reign, I don't think it was. I think he clearly has something about him, but ultimately the expectations were too much, really, this season for him, and it's probably going to be suit him, I would imagine, to take a time out and reflect on what went right, what went wrong, and good luck to him.
I think his parting statement today, dignified, wasn't it? Sort of reflects who he is, and like you said, whenever you dealt with him, that seems to be the man that he is. I know one or two interviews recently were slipped a bit, but I guess the pressure that was on him.
Yeah, but then he did it very well and passionately, without he's very usually in control, and you know, he was a very good communicator in that way, most definitely. I mean, I think he was identified for what he could do, and he delivered it brilliantly. I just think it was then the evolution that was the issue. I don't think he hadn't the experience to rebuild and to evolve the squad and the team, and I think he really struggled with that. I think from being simple and direct in what he wanted, it probably got a bit idealistic and maybe impractical in terms of what was happening, because he had the philosophy, had his beliefs in what he wanted to do, but it just didn't sit with what he was doing in those first 6 months. And for me, you do not blame the manager for the fact that, you know, possibly at the end of the Premier League season with a few games to go, it should have ended. Possibly when they didn't give a reaction against Brighton away at Leeds, against Leeds at Carrow Road, it should have ended. Losing at Rotherham, it should have ended. That's not Alec Neil's fault that he was still in post, as I see it. So, you know, that's a different story.
I know in your article, I think it was the other week, you said how the buck stops with the manager, it's the players. They're motivated by him, he picks the side. But we've now had Russell Martin's post-match interviews the third time this season where Norwich City players just said that some of these players need to realise who they're playing for and what they're playing for. And it was evident on Saturday that you don't just fix this problem by getting rid of Alex Neil. So it's a lot deeper than that.
And it's a real chicken and egg situation, isn't it, Pat? Because the fact is people will blame the players for individual mistakes, for not doing it for the manager. Yet the manager's sole responsibility is to put out a side that he can get the most out of. And he lives and dies by what the players do. He will always be responsible for that. And as much as maybe it is, you know, the players' significant hand involved in it all.
Well, listen, I don't want to slander players per se or Norwich players per se, but in my experience they are very selfish individuals, and they have to be to get to the top of that profession, because it is ruthless, it is cutthroat. Yes, the rewards are there for all to see, but by definition they are quite which is the contradiction at the heart of the team game, really, that they are selfish individuals. And if, as Alex Neil came in and won games, they all rode in behind him, because he was, through him, through what he was getting them to do, through his man management in those first 6-7 months, he took that set of players on an unbelievable journey, and they reaped the benefits of that. Conversely, when they started to lose games and lose a lot of games, players, you know, detach themselves almost, you know, whether it's at sort of a subliminal level, they just don't start or continue in the same vein that when they were winning games. It's really as simple as that. If the new manager comes in and he's able to galvanise a series of results, they'll all row it in behind him, and it'll be the same again. So, you know, it's difficult to hang this set of players out to dry, really, but ultimately the buck does stop with the manager, and that's why he's lost his job, and there's some players there who haven't really produced a great deal this season who will continue getting paid by Norwich City.
One more question on all this. Ricky Martin, if he has an enhanced role, Pete, the fans might not be too happy with that because of what they feel he's done so far. How would you feel about it?
I'll throw the question back at you. What has he done so far? That's what will get most fans wondering. He's had all these different fancy titles, but what his influence has been on that team through the years, no one really knows. And I think that's the issue. So we don't really know what he does, and what has been his record and his experience, and what does he do now? It's an odd one for me.
It's a question I'm sure we'll get to ask in midweek. All right, well, there was a game of football, unbelievably. I think it was almost a complete sideshow, but it did happen. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, hear from caretaker manager Alan Irvine, not called Alec, and Norwich City captain Russell Martin.
Well, first of all, what happened was I got a phone call late yesterday afternoon, just as I was thinking I was going to have a quiet Friday night. I was simply asked to take the team for this game and for the next game. And obviously when you're asked by the board to do that, then that's what you do. So I agreed to that. I saw Alex yesterday. He came back to the training ground, and it was good to see him. As you rightly say, he was somebody who brought me here. I didn't know Alex before the summer, really. He'd been on the course that I presented on, but that was all. And I think that he is extremely diligent with the way that he does his work. He's very, very thorough. I think he's got a really bright future as a manager, but right at this moment the board have made the decision they've made, and Alex was great yesterday in terms of all of that. So
Alan, can I just ask you, after that you made the decision to bring Alex Pritchard off?
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
What I'm thinking was, well, first of all, we know that we're going to be up against it at that time. So you're going to need your central midfield players, Alex Tetti and Johnny Howson, to give us a real kind of solid base in the middle of the park. You're then coming down to, is it one of our wider players? Is it Jacob? Is it Wes? Is it Pritch? You know, and the feeling, my feeling was certainly that it needed to be one of them. My feeling as well was that Jacob has that pace that can take us up the pitch. Josh, that can take us up the pitch. And so we're going to have to defend deep at times. He can carry the ball up the pitch for us. Wes gives us that left-footed balance on the left-hand side of the pitch. And look, the last thing I wanted to do was have to take Alex Pritchard off today, because I think Alex Pritchard is a really good player, really talented player. But we had to do something that made sure that we were as solid as we could be.
Well, Russell Martin, we can talk about the game in a moment, but it's clearly been some 24 hours at Norwich City. Your reaction to Alec Neil's departure and all that news?
Obviously, it's disappointing to see anyone lose their job, someone who worked so hard. Someone who I personally had a good relationship with. We had our ups and downs, but we were always honest with each other. And like I said to Chris Gorham just a minute ago, there's going to be different reactions in the dressing room. That's football. There'll be some that are happy with that. There'll be some that are disappointed. There'll be some that, you know, will carry on doing what they do regardless. So it's always disappointing to see someone lose their job. But as players and as captain myself, I back the board 100% with what they do. We have to move on. And today, like I said to the lads, it was about a response to show that, you know, there's nowhere to hide for us as players. The manager's gone. There's no excuses. There's no one else to blame. And today, you know, we've played our part in him going, which isn't nice. And today we had to show a response. And I think we did that. We dug in. It was full of hard work. Obviously, going down to 10 men doesn't help. But I think we showed that we're willing to dig in and fight for each other still. And that's going to be important from now to the end of the season, because everyone's pretty much playing for their future here under a new manager. That's the case.
Do the players take responsibility for what's happened?
Yeah, of course happened? We do, yeah. If there's players that don't, they're kidding themselves. Like I said in there, it should be a privilege to play for Norwich City. We've underachieved this season. I think we've been the victims of our own success, really, in recent seasons. We overachieved for a couple of years. And listen, as a football club, we deserve to be in the Premier League. I'm not talking about that, but we did it quickly. And then we tried to move on quickly, and it didn't quite happen. We bounced back at the first time of asking. But that season wasn't all rosy. It was tough. It was difficult. It had its ups and downs. And this season, we've underachieved. It's as simple as that. As a group, the players accept responsibility. They have to. We've had plenty of meetings talking about it, honestly, what's gone wrong. But, you know, it's been a season of transition for us as a football club, as players. And now the manager's gone, and like I said, everyone has to pull themselves together and stick together and make sure they're part of it for next year. And they should want to be part of it. Like I said, it should be a privilege to play when it's rocking and when everyone's together at this place. There's not many like it. We're challenged geographically and all that nonsense, and financially we're not quite up there with others, but I've seen it when it's good and when it's going, everyone together, and it's a tough place to come, and it's a force to stop. And at the minute it's a little bit fractured, I get all that, so we have to come together now and try and stick together till the end of the season. There's still a little bit of life in the season there, until it's done, until it's mathematically impossible. We have to keep fighting for it, and until then, whenever they decide who the new manager's going to be, lads have to keep working hard and stick together, simple as that.
How difficult an atmosphere was that to play in today? Because as you said, it wasn't like...
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, it's been a lot of, I guess, I don't know, really hyperbole about manager, people wanting the manager out. You try and stay clear of all that, but when it's been sung in the stands and stuff like that, you know that might not have been the majority, but some people felt like that. So I think we spoke about that before the game, not knowing what to expect, and we'd have to sort of nudge it in a direction we wanted it to go. And I thought we started the game quite well, and then 10 men and it goes a little bit flat. But like I said, for the lads, it was about us making sure, regardless of what's going on in the stands, regardless of anything else, we needed to show a performance where we stuck together and we were resilient and worked hard, and we did that. And to go 2-1 down, you know, we could have collapsed down to 10 men for so long. We get a goal back, and we had a couple of chances in there as well. They've had two shots on target and scored them. Disappointing story of our season, not good enough, but we dug in and we got a point.
And just one more, presumably the timing of the move means that there is time to sort things out effectively, and you'd appreciate that happening.
I presume that's why, you know, that's why the decision's been made, because it gives a manager time to come in and assess the squad. I don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the season, but I presume that's part of the thinking. Give someone to come in, a chance to have a look what needs to happen in the summer, and it's going to be a summer of big change. What I would say is this season at this minute in time we're not in a position to be in the playoffs or go up, so it gives the football club and the board a chance to decide where it wants to go, and I know that they've got real ideas of where it wants to go and where they see it, and we've got to make sure that they're, like I said, myself, every other player in there has got to make sure they work hard enough and show enough to be part of it, because it should be, you should be privileged to play and should be lucky to play, and that's how it needs to be going forward.
Russ, thanks for your time.
No problem. Cheers.
Depends if he's Scottish or not. Although I got very confused by the fact that Jim White called him Alex Neil. Yeah, I mean, he's
been down in England how many years?
Thanks, Pad. That's my man. Right, so Norwich drew 2-2 with Blackburn, believe it or not. They were 1-0 ahead. Cameron Jerome scored that and the goal that equalised. Mitchell Dykes was sent off in after only 21 minutes, wasn't it? Mitchell Dykes' red card. Any arguments? I still have one or two people on Twitter still saying they didn't think it was maybe a red. Bless.
At the time, I couldn't say because where I sit, but having watched it again, it's a red card all day. I do dispute that with the thickest yellow and green spectacles on is ridiculous.
I mean, it was mostly clumsy than malicious, wasn't it, Pad? Yeah, just mistimed, and what he was trying to do just didn't work, and someone put it's Emnes when they put his leg in the way.
And when you're 6'5" and about 17 stone, it's a bit different to Wes or Pritchard doing that manoeuvre, isn't it?
And the reaction to Alex Pritchard's subsequent withdrawal for Stephen Whittaker, I at the time felt, could you have just hung on? Would Paul Lambert have just hung on and played three at the back for a bit? But then what happens? Did he have a choice? Were the sack the board chance that followed a little bit harsh, Pete?
He was always going to be at the school of thought where two banks are four when you go down to 10. And I guess it was a case of him or Wes, and there's arguments for both, isn't there? You think, we haven't seen enough of Pritchard, so you keep him on. He's younger, he's fit, he's going to last the 90 fine. But then again, Wes has had more match fitness. So it was either of them for me, and I think either one would have had the same reaction. So he was stuck, really.
And given, I suppose, with Wes, we'd had the overnight stories about, you know, supposedly his future having a bearing on Alec Neil's sacking and Alec Neil wanting to get rid of him, which the board have completely denied and called garbage and all that sort of stuff. I mean, and Pad, Alan Irvine actually threw the question back at you, didn't he, in the post-match press conference about what you'd have done?
He did. I said nobody wants to hear slightest interest in what I've got to say on the matter. But he was...
That's all right, I'll stop you there then. Now I did.
No, but Pete... I think Pete's right. I think he basically put those two and Josh Murphy in the frame, and he said it had to be one of those because I think his logic was, you know, you need, as Pete said there, you need to be still reasonably difficult to play through in the centre of the park, and obviously you need. I wouldn't start opining about tactical formations, but three at the back with those defenders, no, I wouldn't have gone down that route. So. I didn't really see what the furore was, but I took it to be a bit more than the mere isolated incident of Alex Pritchard being withdrawn. It was the whole kind of scenario that we're in at the minute, sadly. And as you rightly said, that was reflected then when Joe climbed above Ryan Bennett to head them in. And then the board were asked to pick up their P45s as well.
Absolutely. It's just a shame it was Alex Pritchard ultimately, but hopefully it will get... He'll get owed one now for another game, probably by Mitchell. The goals were all right. They weren't great. They were both. I think Jerome's first one was through a defensive mistake from the goalkeeper. The second one was a deflection. But the fact that Norwich came from 2-1 behind, I know they were leading, but they came from 2-1 behind to pick a point up against, playing with a man short for so long, given all the question marks, is it a good? Do they deserve some credit for that, or is there more to do than that?
Yeah, I mean, you could easily throw it at them that they would have just thrown in the towel, especially against a team that's fighting to stay up. I guess maybe us being out of 10 even things out, really, in terms of quality against numbers. You can't knock a team that's spent most of the game with a player less and, like you say, come from behind to get a point. So in that sense, yeah, well played. But for me, it was still a non-event.
Alan Irvine... won't be considering himself, or won't be applying. He said he won't apply for the job. So presumably if Norwich came up to him and said, do you want the job? And we'll offer it to you, you'd take it. But he's not going to apply for it. I don't think it'll happen probably either. And we'll see, of course, if players like Tim Close and those sort of players are going to be involved down the line, because there is a suggestion they may be surplus to requirements already, or whatever it constitutes them selling for a lot of money come the summer. And it's Barnsley coming up on Saturday. Pad, Paul Heckingbottom.
Yeah. No Conor Hourihane, though.
No.
So, or Winnell, in fact. He went to Sheffield Wednesday, didn't he? So
it's kind of kept them going, though, hasn't he, Paul Heckingbottom?
Yeah. I mean, I think they lost the defender, didn't they? Bree, was it the lad, went to Villa. So, as you rightly say, to not have kind of done a Bristol City and imploded completely from the top end to the bottom end, that's a fine job he's done there, And I would imagine he will be getting touted with a few bigger jobs, with all respect to Barnsley.
Jobs such as...
Derby's vacant at the minute, isn't it?
Not here?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Former Norwich boy?
Briefly.
For about a season, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, that would that not be in the same mould as Neil Lambert? But then again, both of those had success, so in the initial interim period anyway. So ask me after the announcement, mate. Midweek.
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's no manager. The reality is that everyone wants something different from their manager, and there's no guarantee. Whatever you go for, however you try and secure yourself against it, nothing is guaranteed. You could get anything. Bring him home, Pete.
Well, Barnett Hill?
No. Yeah.
He's got unfinished business.
Yeah, still. But even Paul Lambert couldn't finish it for him. Yeah.
No, it would be so many names between now and then, won't there? It's, I wouldn't even like to start to guess.
Oh, well, that's a shame. All right. Well,
there's two less names now, isn't there?
Well, I think we'll move this on now, shall we? We'll see what the announcement we get in midweek, and then, of course, we'll be back to reflect on what happens at Carrow Road against Barnsley. Norwich always beat Barnsley, well, apart from last time, obviously. Pete, thank you so much for your time. Pad, as always. And don't forget pinken.com for all the information, news, speculation, of course, what happens in midweek. And we'll see you on the other side. Bye for now.